Today on The King is Coming.
People are concerned about saving a whale or saving an animal, but not saving a soul, not saving the unborn, not saving society itself. No, we're literally living in a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to launch a new series today on globalism and the end times. There is a trend today worldwide toward a global economy, a cashless society, and an international community. Now, part of that is just the result of the technology of the age in which we live. When you have computer transactions and satellite transmissions and jet airplane travel, the world suddenly shrinks and it's at our doorstep. We're no longer living in the 20th century. Let me remind you of that. We are well into the 21st century. And it's a time in which the push in education, in the economy, and even in politics and government is toward globalism and a global society. You say, well, what's the problem with that? As far as the technology is concerned, that's not the problem. The problem is that it sets the stage, ultimately, for world domination of that system, which is exactly what the Bible predicts about the last days.
The instantaneous mass disappearance of millions of people around the world will occur in an event known as the Rapture. Amazing prophecies of things to come, an exhaustive three-part study by Dr. Ed Heinsohn, gives a clear preview of what God promised He will do in the last days. In part one, we will look at the coming world leader, the apostate church, the rise of globalism, and the nuclear threat. We will take a close look in part two at the rebirth of Israel, the conversion of the Jews, the rise of the beast, and the fall of Babylon. And in part three, we will study the marriage of the Lamb, the triumphal return, the binding of Satan, and the New Jerusalem. Get this insightful three-part book set for a gift of only $25, or receive this study on DVD for a gift of only $40. Order today and receive the entire three-part set, both in print and on DVD, for a gift of only $75. In these uncertain times, you don't want to miss this offer. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com today.
Our new study is based on a series of mine called Amazing Prophecies of Things to Come. Three volumes of booklets that I have prepared dealing with all of these issues. And we begin today with the rise of globalism to sort of set the stage for what's coming. In the weeks ahead, I'll be talking to you about the coming world leader, about five prophetic signs of the times that are setting the stage for the end, and then ultimately the challenge of an apostate church that no longer really preaches the gospel or upholds the power of the message of Jesus Christ. But today I want to start with a focus on the development of globalism. Technically, computers, television, satellites, even a cashless society are not immoral in themselves, but all of those things have changed the world in which we live. Now, first of all, think back for a moment. The beginning of the 20th century, think of all the changes that occurred there. Automobiles, airplanes, radio, television. All of that changed the way we live our lives and the way we deal with the world itself. As we got to the end of the 20th century, it was a brand new world based on what had happened at the beginning of the 20th century. So as we come into the 21st century now, and we're over 20 years into this century, we're nearly one quarter of the way down the road into this new century, a century of a thought process that says everybody is our global neighbor, we ought to live at peace with everybody, cooperate with everybody, etc., and have one big giant group world hug and get along. Now that would be great if people had the heart to do that. If their hearts had been born again and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that would be a wonderful goal. The problem is people forget we're living in a fallen world of the depravity of the human heart, the selfishness of the human soul, and all of that self-centeredness ultimately drives people to want to control the world in which we live. One of the things that I think the Bible makes clear is that at the time of the end, the cashless society will be a reality. Way back in 1973, I was flying on a Delta airplane, and the Delta magazine called Sky Magazine had a feature story called The Coming Cashless Society. Well, knowing Bible prophecy, that got my attention even that many years ago. Now, they were saying the cashless society would be a reality in about 10 or 15 years. Well, it really took more like 50 years, but we are there today. The money that we use constantly really doesn't represent anything other than cyberspace, so to speak. It's money that is on a computer somewhere that says this is the evaluation of it, etc. We are getting to a point now where coins are soon going to be eliminated, and it won't be long until dollars are eliminated as well, and everything is done electronically on a cashless terminal. Now, we already do that with credit cards, with the computer chips, etc. I had somebody call me recently on a radio show and call in and say, oh, I can't believe there's a computer chip on my credit card. I said, there's a computer chip in your automobile. There's a computer chip in your computer. There are computer chips everywhere. It's part of the technology of our times. And yes, it leads to convenience, rapid transactions, speeds everything up. But at the same time, it sets the stage for a society globally one day that will be a cashless society where all transactions will end up being electronic. Eventually, the mindset of our times, the Germans call it the Zeitgeist, the way of thinking, the Zeitgeist of our times is driving us down the corridor of the future. We're being pushed constantly into a new world and a new society, and ultimately with a new government pushing us in the same direction, that is becoming more and more the challenge and the reality of our times. Now, you and I can understand Bible prophecy and understand where it's all going. That doesn't mean we can stop it. We can resist it. We can voice our opinion about it. But in reality, the Bible says this is the direction that things are going. And after the recent COVID crisis, where you have to have the government step in and mandate human behavior, mandate wearing a mask, you're only a half a step away from mandating a mark on your hand or your forehead in order to buy or sell or function within that global economy of the future. And that's exactly what the Bible predicts about the future. In Revelation, the 13th chapter, you have the symbolism that's given there of the Antichrist figure, the beast out of the sea, he's called, out of the sea of humanity. Some one person will eventually rise to power and control a global government. How? By controlling the global economy. And the Bible says that he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell unless he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. In other words, there will come a time when somebody will control the global economy of the future with an insignia of some sort, a mark, a name, a number. Well, technically, if you look at your credit card, it already has a mark, it has a symbol, it has a name, and it has a number on it. All of that is already part of the reality of the world we live in today. Now, it's not yet defined maybe into a computer chip in your hand or a tattoo of some sort. That's literally what the word mark means in the New Testament. In Revelation 13, it's the Greek word karagma, which is a tattoo. Somebody's tattooed with something that gives an identification code because we have to determine who gets the medication, who gets the food, who can participate in the economy, etc. Now, I am a firm believer that none of that is going to become enforced worldwide until after the time of the rapture. The fact that the technology already exists to make this happen tells me we're closer and closer to the time of the rapture than we've ever been before. We're racing down the corridor of time to that distant future, but what time it is, only the Lord knows. So in the meantime, you don't have to be afraid that you're going to accidentally use the mark of the beast or take the mark of the beast. I think the book of Revelation makes it very clear, people who take the mark of the beast will do so willingly and deliberately after the time of the rapture. And in fact, the book of Revelation even says God will eventually send an angel who flies across the world warning people not to take the mark of the beast. Well, we're not there yet. We're not in the tribulation period. The rapture has not occurred. The seal judgments and the trumpet judgments are not being unleashed on the world right now. Every time there's a problem, a crisis, a difficulty, somebody wants to say, oh, I think the tribulation already began. No, it hasn't begun yet at all. It will not begin until the trumpet sounds and the archangel shouts, and boosh, we're out of here to the glory of God. The promise of the rapture of the believers is given to the believers. A Bible prophecy is not bad news for the Christian. It's bad news for the unbeliever. It's good news for the believers. The emphasis is that ultimately we win by the grace of God. But what the Bible does tell us about the future is there is coming in the future a world leader, a global government, and ultimately a global economy that he will control. Now, 50 years ago, the global economy was not a reality. 100 years ago, it was inconceivable. And people would read the Bible and wonder, how in the world is this ever going to actually come to fruition? But today, it's obvious. You and I are living in a time when it's more clear than ever before the very things predicted in Scripture will literally come to pass, that we're on the verge of seeing those things fulfilled even in our lifetime. That prediction in Revelation 13, verses 16 to 17, that nobody can buy or sell without the mark, tells us that there has to be a global economy at the time of the end. Now, that doesn't mean that it'll affect every obscure tribe in the world and every obscure island community, but it will affect the general population of the world globally. And right now, think of the fact that during the COVID crisis, globally, every economy had to shut down. Every country had to restrict movement of their people. Every country had to say, we need to wear a mask, stop spreading the germs, etc. Now, all of that was necessary to deal with the threat of a disease. There will be some kind of a greater threat in the future that will cause people to move even more rapidly in that same kind of direction. And I think the Bible makes it clear that the center stage of all of this takes place basically in Europe, that the power of the Antichrist will control the nations that were part of the old Roman Empire. Now, whether that would include the United States as an extension of Europeans, I don't know. Time will tell, and God will make that clear as we move down through the time of the future. But what the Scripture is telling us is that eventually globalism will grow and develop on the back of a global economy, which is already beginning to emerge in the world. That global economy is going to be controlled electronically, and that's obvious to us even right now. In Europe, the very symbols of the European Union are the Tower of Babel, where the languages were confused and the nations were dispersed, the Tower of Babel reversed, where suddenly there's one language, the computer language, that will speak to the entire world and control eventually a world government. Now, symbolically, the book of Revelation refers to that world government as Babylon the Great. But I believe it's obvious as we read those passages in the book of Revelation that John is using Babylon as a code word for something else. In Revelation 17, verse 5, he says of this coming world government, it's mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. In other words, he's referring to the fact that in the future, there will come a world leader like ancient Babylon, but it's mystery Babylon, symbolic Babylon. Now, I have many friends in the prophecy teaching that believe it's literally Babylon in Iraq. I have a hard time with that. To think that ancient Babylon that today lies in ruins would suddenly be rebuilt into a major metropolis and become the capital of a world government, I think is highly improbable. Now, anything's possible in the future. But right now, if the coming of Christ and the rapture is imminent, that doesn't look like a real possibility to me with probability of any kind anytime soon. I think it's a code word for Rome in the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation says in chapter 17, verse 9, here's the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. The ancient Romans deified their city as the goddess Roma. She was pictured as sitting on the seven hills riding on a beast, the wolf, that in their mythology suckled Romulus and Remus, the founders of ancient Rome. The symbolism comes right out of the first century, but it then jumps all the way ultimately into the distant future, I would assume probably sometime in the 21st century. I don't know how much time is left on God's timetable. Jesus said, remember, nobody knows the day or the hour of my coming. So I think the emphasis in Scripture is, since nobody knows the time, don't waste your time trying to guess the time. Be ready all the time, because Jesus could come back at any time. But in the meantime, as we sense we're moving closer and closer to the stage being set for the coming of Christ, that at least tells us the time is short. I don't think we have 100 years. I don't think we have 200 years. Given the depravity of the human heart, the existence of weapons of mass destruction, the drive toward international globalism, it is only a matter of time until some chaotic event plunges the world into a distant future in which a world leader rises to power. One of the founders of the United Nations, the leader of Belgium, said years ago, we need a man to lead us out of the chaos of our times, and be he God or the devil, we will follow such a man. Well, with that kind of an attitude, you can imagine, after the rapture of the believers, in a world that is totally lost and left behind, it will be very easy for somebody to emerge as the international leader, to say to the world, I can bring peace, I can bring order out of chaos, and a lost world will gladly follow that kind of leader. Now, we're not quite there yet, but we see glimmers of that all the time, when political leaders in various nations are promising to bring that kind of security, that kind of stability to their governments, and ultimately to the world itself. And in reality, no human being can promise lasting peace. No human being can promise real stability that is long-term. Only Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can ultimately bring peace to the world. And he will when he returns in his millennial reign and rules with a rod of iron. But we're not there yet. The message of Jesus is being communicated through the church worldwide as we proclaim the gospel that Jesus saves, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead, that he can forgive your sins and change your life, give you a new heart and a desire for God and the things of God. Only Jesus can transform the heart of an individual. You and I can try to live better, do better, make new resolutions or whatever, but it's always limited by the inadequacy of our human flesh. No, the real message of the Bible is that God stepped into this fallen world to bring about the kind of change that we really need. God steps in to do for the world what the world cannot do for itself. The world is going to look to a global economy. It's going to look to a cashless society and eventually to a world government called in the Bible symbolically Babylon the Great. Now, whether it's headquartered in Rome in Europe or New York in the United States or wherever it is, I think the biblical prediction is this is a reality of what is coming in the future. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, the scripture says, "Come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore, the prostitute, who sits on many waters." And then the text goes on to explain the many waters represent many people, all different kinds of people worldwide that will be ruled over by this global leader in the last days. In verse 3 of Revelation 17, the scripture says, "So he carried me away in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit on a scarlet beast full of the names of blasphemy." In other words, this final world government will literally blaspheme God and the things of God. Now again, we're not quite there yet. People give lip service to God. They'll say things like, "Oh, well, we're going to change the laws and change this and change that and change the moral standards, but God bless America." They always throw that in, hoping that God will bless a godless society that is running headlong away from God. I don't think that's going to happen. But we're still holding on to the vestige of the symbols of Christianity. We get upset if they remove the crosses or plaques of the Ten Commandments or whatever, the Judeo-Christian symbols. But in reality, they're only symbols of what ought to be going on in the heart and soul and mind of individuals. But if all they are is symbols and they don't represent a spiritual reality, they really become meaningless. And eventually, in a society in which God is meaningless and God is irrelevant, eventually the symbols will go. Because they're simply saying, this is what we once believed. This is what we once stood for. But in an ever-changing society in which God is being relegated to that which is irrelevant in society, marginalized in every area where the message of Christ cannot clearly be communicated and proclaimed without resistance, even from governments, even in a nation as wonderful as Canada right now, it is against the law to speak out on moral issues that are perceived as somehow being against the general tenor of society, whatever. Biblical statements about sexuality, about human behavior, even about disciplining your children, etc., are relegated to the trash heap of ancient irrelevant thinking. And instead, there is this growing desire to say, no, we need to have a global system in which we all function with the same kind of moral ethical standards. And those moral ethical standards moralize that which is trivial. People are concerned about saving a whale or saving an animal, but not saving a soul. Not saving the unborn, not saving society itself. No, we're literally living in a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. As much as we are frustrated when we read the story of Lot in the book of Genesis, that his righteous soul was vexed daily while he was living in Sodom because of all the sin and immorality that was going on in that city that was on the verge of the judgment of God, we're doing the same thing. We're trapped in the same kind of setting. We can't run away from it. We're living in a city, a society, a nation that's running headlong away from God and desperately needs the message of God. So I want to challenge you. The world needs you today more than ever before as a believer to live out your faith in a way that displays the glory of God, the power of the message of the gospel, the power of its transformation, that Jesus is the only one that can save your soul, change your life, and give you real hope for the future right now in the years ahead, and your eternal future in heaven. For the scripture makes it clear that all who believe in him and put their faith and trust in him will receive the gift of eternal life. But there has to come a time that you and I repent of our sin, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and put our focus on him, the only one who can give us hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and ultimately give us hope for the future. Our eternal confidence based on a Savior who died for your sins, who rose from the dead, who's coming again, and who is coming for those that have put their faith in him. Indeed, the King is coming. The question is he coming for you?
Compiled by best-selling prophecy teachers Ed Heinzen, Mark Hitchcock, and Tim LaHaye, The Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy is a can't-miss volume for your home library. Over 150 topics are presented from more than 40 of the world's foremost prophecy experts. They cover topics such as Armageddon, the Day of the Lord, eternal life, the glorious appearing, the Messianic Kingdom, the Millennium Rewards, the Tribulation, and much, much more. Whether you're passionate about studying prophecy or the world we live in today is causing you to desire more understanding of what the Bible says about the end times, this book will challenge you and give new insights as it brings the prophetic scriptures to light in your life. To order your copy of the Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy for a gift of $40 or more, call 800-622-2767 or go to thekingiscoming.com today.
There are a lot of people today who say, oh, the rapture, it's not in the Bible, or this is a new idea, or where in the world do you get this thing from? Zap, people are out of here all of a sudden. Well, Dr. Mark Hitchcock and I have just written our newest book, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? We're going back to the biblical text to say, what does the Bible say about the rapture? What did the early church say about it? What have Christians said about it all through the Middle Ages, the time of the Reformation, even up to today? It's not a brand new idea. It's been around for centuries. Is there a difference between the time we're caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and the time we return with Christ to the earth to reign and rule with him? And if so, what should we be doing differently in the meantime in light of the message of the promise of the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to rapture the church home to the Father's house?
World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.